We are stoned, and that's okay. So why don't you just stay? Sit back and listen. You don't know what you're missing. It's Talking Stoned While Getting Sports.
Welcome, fellow humans. You're listening to Talking Stoned While Getting Sports, episode 157. First time the charm. I'm the guy that does this intro right every time. Morgan, I'm not Austin. That's the guy that's lying. How the fuck is it going for
you? Oh, man. Yeah, it's going
keeping this one.
Yeah, we're not doing this again, even though this is the first try. First try for sure. Yeah, it's going good. I believe the wife and I are going to see Oppenheimer today.
Not Barbie.
Well, actually, we made about it.
Of course, knowing you two, of course you guys did.
And it's funny, actually, yesterday we kind of come into the agreement that we were going to go see Barbie, but then this morning, Megan's like, well, if you buy supper, then we can go to Oppenheimer. And I'm like, okay.
Ooh.
So,
for supper.
Date night. I don't know. Because if we go to, I don't know. Depending on which showing we go to, we either have enough time for like McDonald's or like an actual like sit down restaurant. So we'll see.
Well, either way, you can make both of them romantic.
But
some fun McDonald's dates.
No, I'm just kidding. And I think that'll be good. I can report back next week on if it was terrible or not. I don't think it will be.
Well, only one way to find out.
Time will tell.
Fuck off. I'm gonna need this right now. You already ruined our friendship earlier today, so.
Well, you gotta, sometimes you win some, you lose some.
I'm more used to being on the losing side of things.
Well, we all know that. Just so mean.
But true. So I guess this is the part where I say what I've been up to, hey? Three years in, we're flawless at this, dude.
How could we get any better?
We can't. We peaked physically cannot. Episode one.
Hey, we did.
It's been going downhill since then.
We've been trying to recapture that that glory.
Oh, it's so good. We're on top of the world.
We sure were.
I was already at the Aston Martin dealership. I was ready to buy.
Wow. You weren't
there. I was. I might not have been the right choice, but.
No, that was still early COVID, my man. No dealerships were happening.
Oh, when you're flaunting the type of cash I was. Or 40
That's because I don't. I never saw any of this cash. I don't know what's going on here. Oh, okay. Well, it turns out this is also our last episode of the podcast.
Let's get back on track. Let's get real here, guys and girls, humans, if you will.
Business.
I'm completely wrecked, and it's 11 o'clock in the morning.
What?
I said I'm completely wrecked and it's 11 o'clock in the morning. This is great.
Good.
I'm also drinking vodka, so.
Jesus Christ.
I knew.
Oh, are you still drinking those?
Yes.
Still working on them. I know, we're still working our way through the wedding alcohol.
Yeah, I still have the other things that I got there.
The beers?
Yeah. Anyways, what have I been up to? Working.
Yeah.
That's important stuff to do, kids. There was something else. Well, today I'm going to be playing slow pitch, so we'll see how that goes. Apparently, the team we're playing against, every game they've played, they got absolutely destroyed in. So if we lose, it says a lot about us, but
yeah,
we'll see. Snow beach dodgeball, because apparently volleyball takes over, whatever. Rude.
That is rude. Oh,
I burped. Is that exciting for anyone?
It's pretty hot.
Thanks, buddy. That's why I keep you around.
You need to keep around.
This start is kind of a mess, but I kind of enjoy it at the same time.
I'm not upset about it.
No, we're not redoing it, so.
You're goddamn right we're not.
I beat a video game, and then Sony emailed me. That was a interesting experience.
Sony emailed you?
Yeah, I beat God of War Ragnarok.
Okay.
And then I got an email from Sony saying, congratulations for beating the game. It's like, well, thank you.
Damn, that's kind of wild.
Right.
Yeah. I got achievements, but not that.
Plugs.
Plugs in my house. We got electrical plugs. We got drain plugs. We got.
You can follow me at the triple T's.
Butt plugs. We got.
I can see how this episode's going to go. Oh my lord. Hey.
You can follow us on Twitter. I'm never advertising Twitter again. Fuck Twitter.
Well, I'm going to because I'm.
Well,
I do the triple T's. I can't stop.
You could do the double T's.
That doesn't roll off the tongue as quickly.
Or the two T's. The two T's. The teeny T's. The
plugs. The T's. Sir. Stop it.
The toothy teeny T's. Okay. You can follow the podcast at TSWGS Pod as well as TikTok. You can follow me on, I guess, TikTok, FNC Fitzgerald. Also, rate, review, download, subscribe. It means the absolute world to us. I think we have. It really does. And I think from the stats, we apparently we have like 10 subscribers on Spotify, but they definitely don't listen. So it'd be cool if you did. And yeah, we'd really appreciate that.
We don't even care if you are just playing them on three separate devices while you're not even home.
Shit, download the podcast and then delete it. I don't care.
Yeah.
But any little bit helps there. Yeah, we've been posting a little bit on TikTok, having some fun with filters on there. Morgan's been clips. The one that he posted looks awful because it looks like the size of a goddamn dime. Not sure what happened there.
Probably how I recorded it. I don't know. Life, dude.
It might have been it. But regardless.
Don't explode over there.
Get us to 1,000 followers so we can go live and just yell at people all day long.
Yeah, I want Aston Martin.
What?
I said, yes, I want this Aston Martin.
I don't think 1,000 followers. Anybody in Aston Martin, but it's a good start.
It's better than what we got. And if I was about to get it at 40, then 1,000, I think I'm going to buy the dealership, bro.
Yeah, just buy the whole fucking dealership.
All the dealerships, not just Aston Martin. In the world. Okay.
Well, on that note, I think we should actually talk about sports.
No, I got the triple T's.
Oh, fuck. Double T's. Fuck Twitter.
Well, triple T's, you can figure out what they are. Caption Morgan 2. That's all I need to say. That's
well, it. Did you hear that he's rebranding it, too? Going to be getting rid of the bird logo.
I don't care. I will sell my soul to the devil if that gets me ahead in life.
Oh, fuck. Don't tell. I've thought about it. Don't even get me started on that.
I will do unspeakable things if that makes me get ahead in life.
I will burn down an orphanage.
It's all about myself.
What's up? What?
Ooh. Sports. Speaking of being done with life, Edmonton Elks, I tell you, they should be done with football.
They should be.
Because they played Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and this is not a team you want to play against when you're trying to get one win. Just
one little tasty win.
2 points. But, like, one win, one dub, one winner chicken dinner.
All right, I think we get it.
Yeah, do we, though? Because they lost to Winnipeg 28-14. They didn't have a chance. Taylor Cornelius is not the quarterback. I mean, Chris Jones keeps saying he is a quarterback, yes, but he's not a good one. like Chris Jones has came over and said he gives him the best chance at winning. Well, where's the proof? That big we need zero.
Some evidence for that there, Chris.
Like, try something else. You have other quarterbacks. What's the worst that happens? You keep losing?
Right.
At least you then have answers. I don't get it. This game, he went 17 for 29, 220, one touchdown, two picks. Not great. I mean, he runs the ball, but I mean, okay. it was a very I will say Edmonton does have a pretty solid defense, which is not surprising with Chris Jones as the everything over there. The many hats that he likes to wear all the time. They gave Edmonton's offense a chance to try and get some points. I think there was a turnover or downs right off the bat. And then there's an interception shortly after that. And when you can't get points off of turnovers, which another game that I'm still recovering from last night, you'll see is another theme of that. Good things usually don't happen for you. Winnipeg, though, they're beatable. Just not by Edmonton. Apparently Ottawa might be the new best team. Well, then there's Toronto. But anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. Zach Claros went 20 for 24, 308 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. Excuse me. So, I mean, that's literally, as far as the touchdowns and interceptions go, that's a swap, like, from what Taylor Cornelius got, and they won the game. Shocking. Brady Oliveira had a great game, 17 carries, 110 yards. The thing is, he got most of those yards in the fourth quarter, and that's what Winnipeg likes to do to you, is put in a little bit of a run at the start, take away a little bit, it opens up the D deep passes. We get big chunk touchdowns, get them quick. And then in the fourth quarter, they just, when the defense is tired, just keep running and running the ball and get some fairly easy yards and run out the clock and game's over and they go home with a win and we'll probably be in another fucking Grey Cup against Toronto. It's probably going to be a rematch.
Ooh.
Or possibly BC. I have some crazy stats for you when we get to the last game we talk about. I think you're going to enjoy it there, bud. I just remembered, and you can't let me forget. Just say crazy stats, and I'll remember.
Okay.
But moving right remember. Along. What?
I said, we'll see if I remember.
I hope so.
Well.
I should. I hope.
No, it's, I said, it'll see if I remember to remind you.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I know what you said. I hope for both things. I can hope for more than one thing at once.
I don't think that's true. Moving on.
My hope, my choice. Oh.
Okay.
Toronto Argonauts. They are amazing. They're absolutely unreal of a football team. And I really wish that they would hurry up and, well, just, I'm not looking forward to playing against or watching the Riders play against them this coming up weekend in Halifax, because the Riders will probably lose and it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
Because they're 5-0, which I believe hasn't happened for them since in the 60s, I want to say 67. I don't know. Get at me at one of the triple T's at Captain Morgan 2. and let me know that I'm wrong. I wonder if that'll work. If that works, I'm a genius. Anyways.
Just be wrong and be like, hey, let us know if we're wrong.
The Argonauts are now 5-0. Best team in the CFL.
Gross.
Record-wise. Well, actually, a little stat. Because of some very shitty teams in the West right now, the East has more wins, like, with all the teams combined, over the West.
Aye.
So, well, it helps when Toronto has 5 of those wins. yeah, they beat Hamilton 31-15. I'm not sure if I said the score already once. I might have.
I don't know.
Hamilton was playing their 4th-string quarterback. And Chad Kelly, he is not going to be in the CFL after this season. What's going to happen is Toronto's going to win a Grey Cup once again, and Chad Kelly's going to get multiple, probably 6 or 7 tryouts in the NFL, and he's going to stick with one of the teams as a 3rd-string quarterback, and then he'll become an actual starting quarterback about 2 to 3 years after that. I'm predicting all that right now. Because he went, well, he's like, Hamilton has a good defense. Lots of people might say it was against Hamilton's defense, but the other 4 wins weren't against Hamilton's defense. They've been beating some decent teams. Chad Kelly went 20 for 27, 306 yards, 2 touchdowns. No picks, very accurate game. I watched most of it, and then I got distracted, and I didn't finish. So, AJ Ouellette, I think that's how you say it. That's, I never knew that's how you spelled it, though. Holy crap. Wow, that's a lot of letters. Anyways, he went 10 carries, 84 yards. I'm very happy about that because I had him on my CFL fantasy. So I've got some points there. I also had Zach Claros and Nick Dembski. So got a few points. I haven't even looked, so I can't tell anyone right now how many points I have, unfortunately. But Hamilton, I don't know. They're not a very good team, which is very extra unfortunate because they're supposed to be hosting the Grey Cup this year. So that's, well, take it from a Ryder fan from last year. They didn't make the playoffs when they were hosting the Grey Cup, so it's not fun.
No. That's not the ideal situation, sure.
Taylor Powell, his first ever CFL start, he went 27 for 41, 283 yards, 0 TDs, 1 INT. That stands for interception.
Thank you.
average of 6.9 yards. Just want to throw that out there because I am a child.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. He, from my first personal look at him, he didn't do too bad for his first start. Like, he got some decent yardage. Obviously, couldn't get the ball in the end zone. It was all field goals and crap. So, I didn't even end up watching the fourth quarter because at that point, Toronto had just was run away with the game. So, right. Really wasn't much point. What else can I say about this game? I don't think anything else. The last game, because once again, there's a game after recording. Was the Saskatchewan Roughriders going to BC playing against the Lions? And something coming into this game, there's a stat that I didn't realize. Well, what the stat was, and I also didn't realize how secretly good the BC Lions defense actually is. They did start Vernon Adams Jr., and on a sack, he got injured, so now I don't even want to look at social media right now because I'm sure they'll be like, oh, look, now Riders defense took out another starting quarterback because they did. They took out Mazzoli last year in game 3. That was from a dirty hit. This wasn't a dirty hit, though. But anyways, yeah. They lost. BC got 19. The Riders got 9. I almost said it backwards, Austin, but you're welcome.
Thank you.
I just know you hate that. Mason Fine for the Riders. His third CFL start. He didn't do remarkable, but he didn't do horrible. He did go 32 for 41, 284. He didn't throw any interceptions. Well, the Riders didn't get any touchdowns, but we'll get to that in a second. He did, however, there's two series back-to-back that he threw picks in. And one, I would say, was probably on the receiver, and the other one wasn't as definitely on him. Again, average 6.9 yards. Those are good averages. Anyways, at times they were able to move the ball. Neither team was very successful on the run all game. Like, Morrow had 12 carries for 11 yards.
Okay.
That's less than yard a carry.
Not ideal.
But both defenses were stellar. But I already kind of hinted at a stat. And I guess I'll say the quarterbacks once real fast. Dane Evans, who wasn't the starting quarterback, went 16 for 25, 219 yards, one TD, one interception. Vernon Adams Jr., who was in the game for a very short time, went 1 for 2, and then 8 yards, and then nothing after that. However, the BC Lions coming into this game, well, actually, I don't know the stat coming into this game, but by the end of this game, I believe they had in 82 drives or whatever you want to call it, they've only gave up 5 touchdowns all year long.
Damn.
So for the Riders to not get a touchdown on the species defense right now, it really isn't shocking. They shut out teams. They only held the Blue Bombers, only gave or got it to 6 points on them. They're secretly good, and this was not an ideal third start for Mason Fine coming into this game. I did see some good stuff. But now, like I already mentioned, the Riders now play Toronto in Halifax. So they're in Vancouver, and then the game's Saturday. So now they have to go across the country and go play in Halifax.
Okay.
So, against the best team in the CFL. So as a Rider fan, I will watch it, of course.
Of course.
I'd be dumb not to, but I'm not looking forward to it. But lucky for you, Austin, that is, well, kind of actually, kind of lucky for you, but that is all the main talking that you have to listen to me, because that's it for CFL. That's all I got.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh. Does that mean... I mean, I have to say things?
Yeah, kind of. Except for what we started off because of the other sport.
Well... It's
Flames related.
It sure is. But it's okay. Because for this one...
It's more than that.
I'm not upset. So... The Flames had one of the best goalies in the last 20 years, I'd say. It definitely had moments of it for sure, and that would be Mika Kiprusoff. Mika Kiprusoff was fantastic. Put up over 300 wins in the NHL, had a career goal average of 2.4. Save percentage 912, 44 shutouts, how to stop a puck. And not only that, so basically stolen from San Jose by the Flames in a beautiful trade, which is wild. I don't think but much for Kiprasov.
I don't actually know because I was not crazy. Like when he was with San Jose.
A little bit before, you were watching hockey.
I was watching hockey, but I wasn't like, I was just focused on the Flames.
It's so not necessarily players.
Other teams I didn't care about at that point.
Right. Which is fair. Hold on one second here. I want to see if I can see what the trade was because they didn't give up much.
Well, while you're looking that up, I do know, like, there was multiple stories about Kiprasov. Like, people were shining, like, green laser lights into his eyes, and he was interviewed about that after the game. And he was like, he didn't even know what they were talking about because apparently he just makes most of the saves with his eyes closed. And shit like that, just feeling and knowing the game. He's a remarkable goalie. And I really wish that he was, we had the type of talent. Oh, him and Markstrom was a 1-2 punch. That would be all right. I'd be okay with that.
Markstrom was Kiprasov?
Yeah.
I mean, small wrinkle being that Kiprasov retired before. Make sure Markstrom was in the league, but yeah,
no, I get that, but I'm mixing okay. decades.
I got the trade. November 16th, 2003. The Calgary Flames acquired Mika Kiprasov. In exchange, the San Jose. Zay Sharks, it's apparently how that is. I said that there. Acquire a 2005 second round pick of the Calgary Flames. Now, here's some trivia. Can you guess? Picked with that pick
in 05
for the San Jose Sharks.
No.
Mark Edward Vlasic. Now, he's had a solid career as a defenseman. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I recognize that name.
But Kiprasov was a legend. And Kiprasov was also the guy who, between fucking periods, would be smoking darts. Fucking this. He was a man, you know? He was a real man. He's a Finnish man.
I never really remembered what he sounded like in interviews, and then I watched his retirement speech.
Yep. Like,
all right, yeah, you're from Finland.
Oh, Finnish, all right. And so I don't know if we've actually said why we're talking about him. The Flames are... Excuse me. The Flames are retiring Mika Kiprasov's number, which, if I remember correctly, is 34.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I remembered it. Awesome. Yeah, and it makes sense, right? Kiprasov was one of the best goalies that have ever played for the Flames. Had a solid career there, made a deep run.
No, because they picked him up and... Well, no, you said the trade happened. Oh, no, it was a 2005. Yeah, it was his first year as the Flames. They made that deep run in 04.
Yeah, because he was acquired in 2003.
Okay.
So he was there for it. But, you know, it's good for him, man. It played the longest career, but Kiprasov was one of those goalies that, like, man, you hate playing against. Or you hate it when your team had to play against him because I'm not to say, you know, not to say, but there were nights where you just could not beat Kiprasov. It just wasn't going to happen.
No. And because of Kiprasov made the Flames management be like, we must get every Finnish goalie that we possibly can.
Well, try to...
And yeah, it hasn't quite panned out quite the same since then, but.
No, because goalies are voodoo, and it doesn't matter where they're from. Very good. But I will say,
by track record, there is quite a few good Finnish goalies out there. I will say,
name three.
I can't.
Okay.
Because I'm going to start naming people, and you'll be like, "He's not from."
There. He's actually Swedish. No, he's Norwegian. Canadian. Now I could argue Kaprizov would actually also fall into. Yeah. Are we good on Kaprizov, or do you want to keep talking?
Well, the one other thing I do want to mention is, like, not many goalies also had, like, do you remember that fan that would sit right behind Kaprizov? He had, like, the I've of course saw it more, but you might have caught it during a Canucks game or something where there's that fan in full goalie get up. He would have the orange beard painted onto his face, and he would just be behind Kaprizov mimicking every last little move whenever he grabbed his water bottle.
Yeah.
Save he made.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Like, you don't see that type of stuff in the NHL much these days.
No, it actually, sorry, just a slight tangent, because it is frustrating. We're kind of missing some of that fun fan stuff. Like, I know, you know, they not a lot of people were huge fans of it because nobody likes the Canucks, but the Green Men.
Oh, I loved it, dude.
It was hilarious, right?
Flames fan.
Yeah, but it's fun, right? It's a sport. It's a game, right? Mm-hmm. It's meant to be fun. And I think me personally, my theory on why we don't see that as much anymore is because it's gotten too expensive. You know, yes, it's
only gravitates towards a certain community because you get that little more fan interactive than like CFL because it doesn't. I mean, it's getting more expensive, and that's even an issue there, whereas it doesn't cost an arm and leg when compared to, I'm sorry. I'm getting choked up talking about this. when the prices compared to an NHL game, but.
Yeah, it's still.
The money comes from the fans, so you want to make sure to include us.
Yeah, right? I think they forget that sometimes. I think
Kaprizov.
Okay. Cool. I think he would fit into the next article, actually. Most underappreciated players. I like this tagline. Whether it's being overshadowed teammates or the rest of the NHL top players, these six players deserve more hype for their impressive efforts. And it happens a lot, right? There's you know, throughout history, even, you know, Gretzky was the guy. But not as much credit goes to guys like Jari Kurri, Paul Coffey, Messier, as much as I hate him. You know, even guys like Marty McSorley, right? McSorley was not an all-star by any stretch, but if Gretzky didn't have action, he wouldn't have been the same player, right? It's important to recognize the guys who aren't the stars, because they're still fucking really good.
Yeah.
And so this one here, I like, definitely not a household name, but nope. At 27, he did his first All-Star game this past season. The most effective wingers since the 2021-22 season. Points per game through 50 is 1.04, so he's just over a point per game.
Which is pretty good.
pretty good. The guy knows how to play. He's excellent playmaker. He knows how to set people up. He's fast. He's an excellent complementary player. He actually would be a guy that would be really good, I think, to be if Chicago could get their hands on Fiala, and you got Fiala setting Bedard up and vice versa. Oh my god. I guess anybody with Bedard is kind of a cheat code, I feel like.
Yeah, but you do need a guy that has good hockey sense and can get the puck to him. Like, you can't, I don't think just anybody, but.
No. I'll say maybe that's just because he'll be a rookie as well. Because I think at this point in their careers, like guys like Sidney Crosby, like you could put me on Sidney Crosby's wing and I'd get some points. Like, you know what I mean? Or McDavid, right? Like,
maybe go on the net or something. But.
Well, that or like a second something. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there are some guys in the league that can make just about anybody look good.
Dude, if I think Bedard will out on the ice in the hockey game, like NHL, we would just stand there and all of a sudden we'd just look up and the players would be gone.
Oh, it would be embarrassing. It would be, I will say, I think that would be hilarious if one game they're just like, all right, let's throw some regular people in there just so you guys understand how good these guys are.
Yeah, like an exhibition game or something?
Yeah. Yes, they are. Because that's the thing, right? On the
checking stuff too.
Jesus Christ. We'd get fucking wrecked.
I'd fight someone. Who would you fight?
We'd be looking down. Kevin Fiala.
I'd fight the ref just so then they're forced to kick me out.
No. Well, not a bad idea. Honestly, probably most people in the NHL would fuck me up because they're athletes and they're strong. And I haven't been in a fight since grade 5. So
I just fight someone like Johnny Gaudreau and just sit on him. I'm fat.
Oh, that's, so, yeah. Yeah. Be on the easier side. Not to
someone
say
like that and just, you know, sit on him.
Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner's kind of tall, but, well, not tall, but like he's pretty skinny.
Catch them first, don't we?
Fuck. Yeah.
We could definitely skate faster backwards than we could forwards. For sure.
They can skate faster on one skate than we can forwards.
Yeah. I'll even fucking push you.
Like, fuck. We would lose, you and I, we would lose to a fucking hockey player without a stick. Like, he would not have a stick and he'd still beat us.
Yeah.
Now, here's a guy I haven't heard of, and I like to learn about new guys. So, Noah Cates, centerman for the Philadelphia Flyers. His reason there wasn't exactly, you know, crazy. Right, he had 38 points in 82 games, which is not terrible. 11 in the last 14 games.
But the team is playing on low too.
Well, and that's the thing. He's playing for the Philadelphia Flyers, which, dear God, I'm sorry, man, that's rough.
Hey, maybe we have a shot for the Flyers.
Maybe, but he did have really good defensive numbers. And some of the comparisons out there, guys like Adam Lowry, Jordan Staal, really good shutdown, kind of second, third lines. Those guys are super important.
I find it's a lot easier to train someone to be able to get the points versus to be sound on defense.
100%. It is. You know what? They're, you know, obviously offense is important, but these are the guys that help you in the playoffs. These are the guys that help you make it deep. Because the playoff scoring is a whole different beast, and you need that defense. He finished 15th in Selke voting as a rookie.
Pretty solid.
For those of you who don't know, Selke Award is the best offense or best defensive forward. And as a rookie to hit 15th is crazy, especially on such a shitty team. So I look out for Noah Cates. This could be interesting.
How much longer is he stuck with the Flyers? You know, I guess you just talked about him.
Well, if it was a rookie, probably 2 more years and then RFA, we'll see where that goes. But if I was him, I'd want to get the fuck out of there after his entry level, but he might like it. I don't know. Carter Verhaeghe. Carter Verhaeghe is a guy who's kind of bounced around the league and then all of a sudden scored a buttload of goals.
I love his last name. I'm just saying that.
His last name? So,
yeah, Verhaeghe.
Verhaeghe's a pretty good name. So was actually in the Toronto Maple Leaf system, but they traded him because they just didn't have any space for him. Boy, does that hurt.
Yeah.
Because he's now at least a 40-goal scorer.
If he still has some of their numbers, I could maybe text or call them and be like, yo, this is what it feels like to make it past the second round.
True. So here's a crazy stat.
Ooh, crazy.
2020, mm-hmm. Since 2020, 2021, only Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, David Pastrnak, Mikko Rantanen, and Kyle Connor have scored more even strength goals than Carter Verhaeghe.
I don't know any of those players, so I think you're lying.
Yeah, it's a bunch of scrubs, but he's in with that territory, which is insane, right? And this is definitely a good example of guys flying under the radar. But everyone knows Matthews, McDavid, a lot of people, Pastrnak. Obviously, less people know Kyle Connor because he plays in Winnipeg, that poor bastard. But Carter Verhaeghe, man. Carter Verhaeghe has a ride.
It's going to be very interesting if he can keep continuing on this level.
Yeah, 100%. Jake Wall, a defenseman for the Detroit Red Wings. Again, a guy I don't know a ton about. He's 27 years old. Simplicity and efficiency. He doesn't need to make fancy plays. He doesn't need to, you know, get the craziest stuff out there.
Like a wall, then.
He does. Interesting. And honestly, coach's dream, right? Coaches love a defensive defense that's not wanting to be fancy, just makes the easy, quick plays. And this is that guy. He finished 13th. Among defensemen in clean exits per 60 minutes, which is, you know, exits out of the zone, which is a solid stat for sure. He just consistent.
Solid minutes, too. I'm just throwing out random stats while you're talking.
Yeah, it's all minutes a game. 9 goals, 18 points in 63 games.
More than I've done.
But he's not a big points guy, and that's fine. He's more that shut down the
players like this guy.
Right. And Ryan Graves from the Pittsburgh Penguins. Graves is quite similar to Wall, but he's 3 inches taller. And
are you saying that or are you just reading it?
What's the difference?
Life.
In fact, if you didn't mention it, nobody would fucking know. Mother, and the fact that you asked me this means that you already was reading it, so you should have just fucking okay. But he cannot move the puck as well. He's still sturdy, defenseman. Good left shot, fits in well.
You want to read the part that he's 3 inches taller, or what?
I did that part.
Oh, okay.
I read he's 3 inches taller, and you were like, are you reading?
Oh, I just heard the similar player to Wallman. I don't care about the 3 inches.
Well, you cut me off. You didn't care about the 3 inches, but then you asked about the 3 inches. And now I feel like we're just derailing the whole goddamn podcast over 3 inches, which is what she said to you. What?
Oh, sad face.
Well?
Yeah, 3 inches too big.
So, solid dimension for Pittsburgh. they need the help. But yeah. And then Philip Gustafson for the Minnesota Wild. Gustafson coming off of 2 seasons as a third string goalie for the Senators. He joined the Wild beginning 1B with Fleury, posted a 27 record, a 931 save percentage, 3 shutouts. Dude went from being a third string to half the starting job in Minnesota. So good for him. Yeah, I didn't realize that this article would take so much time.
How much time? Well, that's fine. It's off-season news. Lots of stuff can get moved to other stuff. I just want to.
That's true. It's not like it's like time sensitive. A lot of this stuff. Although I did want to talk about this because this is kind of still the off-season news that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, we can talk about a couple other things. Yeah, we
got. Everyone keeps talking about it here with the Erik Karlsson.
The Karlsson watch.
So Erik Karlsson watch. Do 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 do. You happy? You happy with yourself?
I'm smiling. Does that mean anything?
Erik Karlsson, speaking media, on that he has spoken to a few teams, as the Sharks have tried to.
Just continue.
Jesus Christ. According to Chris Johnson, he has spoken with the two teams we know, and most people, the Penguins and the Hurricanes, are in on them. But apparently he's also spoken to the Kraken and Canada's team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. According to Karlsson, he just wants the best team, which out of those four teams, out of these four teams, I mean, Carolina is excellent. Yeah, they got swept by Florida, but if you ask Rod Brind'Amour, they didn't get swept by Florida. I don't know if you remember that.
No, who did they get swept by?
Well, they got swept by Florida. They sure did. But in an interview, Rod Brind'Amour was talking about how close the games were, which, to be fair, there were a bunch of close games.
But they lost. Yeah,
3 or 4. But they lost all of them. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure the definition of a sweep is to lose 4 in a row in a best-of-7 series. So, anyway. That's a whole nother conversation. I don't see. Here's the thing. I got some on this. Ooh, I don't see Karlsson going to Carolina. Big reason for it. Burns fill us. And
yeah, they don't need something like that. Gazante. Bless you.
And for Bird, they do not get along.
Ooh.
Karlsson and Burns. So for Karlsson in on like maybe helping facilitate a trade, I don't think it's gonna be Carolina. Pittsburgh has been putting a lot into trying to get Karlsson, and you, as long as you have Crosby, Malkin, Letang, you are in win now mode. As hard as it may be, they're getting older, but you can't be.
I can see Karlsson being sorry to cut you off, but I can see Karlsson being a decent fit with the Penguins because they're pretty sound with the defenseman side of things.
Yeah, have that edge on offense. And Carlson, you know, just put up 100 points, one of Vezina, or not Vezina, yeah, Jesus Christ.
To feed the puck to Crosby or Malkin or guys like that?
Well, Carlson is that guy. Carlson is such a good passer. You could look up a highlights for hours of him just, like, lifting the puck over everybody, perfect pass.
Some more
defensively, he's not good. Depth
in the power play and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah. Carlson, not good, but that's not what you're getting him for, right?
And you should.
Yeah. Kraken, I don't think that he's going to go to the Kraken. I just don't see it happening. I don't know why. I just
to give up too much to get him.
They'd have to give up a lot. And is it to the Kraken? They had a great second season.
No, I say keep building on what they already had.
Just keep the momentum, keep the consistency. And everyone linked to the Toronto Maple Leafs because Toronto Maple Leafs, blah, blah, blah. But realistically, okay, they don't have the cap space. So unless Carl's $11 million a season, it's like a three-way trade and there's two retention.
That's the only way. Yeah.
So then you could get Carlson. So here's the crazy thing. If you do a double retention, you can have Carlson on a team for like $3 million a season. Which Eric for $3 million is nothing.
I could see a team like the Kraken being part of a three-team deal.
Yeah, or you know, your typical like Arizona shit like that, where they'll like retain something for a draft pick or whatever.
But hey, Kraken could use the draft pick with the newer team and stuff.
Totally. Build the future out.
Because like all we know is that Carlson apparently has been talking to these people.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything about like he's not trading himself.
Right? No,
not yet.
No. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
And I really, really don't think he'll go to Toronto. I just don't see it happening. He also doesn't necessarily fill a need that they need. In terms of offensive defense, they just signed a 1-year deal. Carlson's a guy that needs to play on the power play, and with Riley and Klingberg, where does he fit in there, right? So yeah, I don't see that happening unless they trade Klingberg else for him, but I don't see that happening either. But speaking of the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, we can see the other article to the next episode.
Wait, what other article?
The grading the progress of the rebuilding stuff.
Oh, yes.
The done thing.
Yes. Yeah, because right. No, all good. Yeah, so speaking of the Kraken, one defenseman Vince Dunn was heading to salary arbitration, but they got an agreement. He had an NHL career in goals and points last season. He had 14 goals, 64 points, 50 assists, plus 28. Solid season for him. 7 points in 14 playoff games, which again is excellent. He gets a 4-year deal at, but it's just over
29.4.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, 7.35 million a season, yeah. Which will take him to 30 years old. He'll be a free agent. And if he keeps up this play, he is going to get paid.
Yeah, this is great for both sides. This is kind of what we were already talking about, or at least I mentioned, where I think the Kraken have, you know, they should keep building off of what they were working on in the playoffs and stuff. And
yep.
Why try and get Eric Carlson when you have not a terrible thing Carlson going
at home?
So
that's it.
That's all.
That's all.
All right. How do we end this?
Well, I got to pee, so.
Do you say a very long phrase and I say bye, or is it the other way around?
Pretty sure it's the other way around.
Stay stoned and stay safe. Was that good?
Take bye.
Stay stoned and stay safe. Take stay stoned.